You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is James Robbins, senior editorial writer for the Washington Times. For Wednesday's edition of the newspaper, he focused on the Obama nomination of Christopher Hill as the next ambassador to Iraq. Hill, of course, is best known as leading the U.S. delegation in multi-party talks surrounding the North Korean nuclear issue. And Jim, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Obviously, there is a vacancy in Baghdad. This is going to be our largest embassy, one of our most important diplomatic outposts. Some say Hill has a diplomatic experience in dealing with thorny issues like North Korea. Others say he's got no Middle Eastern experience, certainly with Iraq, and this is not a time for a novice on the job. Why did you come down on the side that he's the wrong choice?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. One that you mentioned is that he's a neophyte when it comes to the Middle East. He does have a lot of diplomatic experience, but none of it has been in that region, and I don't think that, particularly when we're talking about Iraq, which is arguably the most important country in that region to United States interests, we can't have someone in there who's doing on-the-job training. So that's one important reason why he's probably not a good choice.
And in terms of his track record thus far, the Obama administration seems to be making this nomination based on what they see as his track record of success in dealing with the six-party talks, the North Korean nuclear issue, and the fact that at one point in recent years, North Korea agreed to dismantle. Where exactly does that stand right now, and why do you believe his record isn't quite as sterling as it might seem?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that he has a record of success, actually. I would say he has a record of failure in this respect. The six-party talks, which, between countries surrounding North Korea and the United States, were intended to denuclearize North Korea. But from the time the talks restarted in the fall of 2005, and this was mostly through the initiative of Ambassador Hill, North Korea has expanded its nuclear program, has tested a nuclear weapon, and is now about to test a delivery system for those weapons. So I really don't see where you can say that he has been successful. I mean, if you look at what the six-party talks were meant to prevent, North Korea has gone ahead and done all the things they weren't supposed to do and done precious little in terms of what we would prefer them to do.
You also accuse him in this opinion piece of basically cowboy diplomacy, going off script, thinking very, very poorly, actually, of the Bush administration, which sent him there in the first place. Explain that a little bit.
Well, yeah, some people have written about him, who've talked to him. He has, not very good things to say about some of the people in the Bush administration whom he considered hardliners. I heard another story that he, in front of some Chinese diplomats had said disparaging things about the president. But, I mean, those anecdotes aside, when you look at how, for example, he got these six-party talks going again, the United States had never met alone with the North Koreans because, when technically, we're still at war with them, and if you go back to the Korean War, and as a principle, we don't meet alone with them. We always have to meet with someone else. Well, in the summer of 2005, at a Berlin meeting that was supposed to be between the U.S., China, and North Korea, the Chinese couldn't make it, so Hill just went ahead and did it anyway. He violated U.S. policy, and he violated the instructions of his superiors. Now, he could say, yes, but that's what got the six-party talks going. Okay, fine, but it was a huge propaganda victory for the North Koreans, who then crowed about how, yes, the United States now sees us as a peer, and they will meet with us bilaterally and a bunch of other stuff. So, great. He got what he wanted for himself, but in terms of the overall diplomacy of the United States, it was a very bad move.
And given that kind of go-it-alone approach, or at least not following the orders of his superiors approach, what impact could that have in a place like Iraq?
Well, it could have a big effect. And, I'm not against the individual, the person with initiative. Sometimes those things work. The problem with Hill is he goes off on these things, and then they don't work. So when we're dealing with a country like Iraq, which is on, a place where we've been at war, a place that could become destabilized, with a neighbor like Iran, which is very much like North Korea in terms of its nuclear ambitions, its space ambitions, and other things. He's going to be on the front line of this regional dialogue, the grand bargain, and other visions that we've been hearing about from the Obama foreign policy team. And I really don't think that we need to have in there a person who helped preside over North Korea attaining its nuclear capability, dealing with the Iran problem. Now, some say, okay, he won't be dealing with it directly. But I've been seeing quotes from Iraqi politicians who believe the very reason that Hill is going to be appointed to the ambassadorship in Iraq is because of the future bargaining we're going to have to do with Iran. Of course, we don't have an ambassador in Iran because they took over our embassy years ago.
Jim, you've also found evidence that Chris Hill might have been working even further behind the scenes of his mission as it was defined by the State Department in terms of connecting the White House to North Korea. Explain what you've learned there.
Yeah, there was a very interesting report in a Japanese weekly magazine of an interview they did with a North Korean official who mentioned that Ambassador Hill had introduced them to an influential American, they didn't name who it was, who can take messages directly in a back channel to the White House, and that they're currently using that channel. And I've talked to various experts on Korea. No one really knows what this is, hadn't heard of it. They suggested a few names. I'm not going to speculate. But the question is, it fits in with Hill's MO. And then the second question is, who is this person? Does this channel exist? Does the Secretary of State know about it? What was Hill's role? It raises a lot of questions I think he should answer, because if this really does exist, that's something I think the American people should know about and the various oversight bodies should know about in the Congress, not to mention his boss, the Secretary of State. She should probably be aware of it.
Last 30 seconds here, and let's focus on a point you made in discussing the Iraq situation, and that's the situation with Iran and its nuclear program. You end your piece today by saying if anyone wants Iran to have the same nuclear capability as North Korea, Hill is your man. What sort of philosophy do you think he'd take to the table if, in fact, he ever ended up at the table with the Iranians?
Well, with North Korea, he delinked every other issue. So human rights, support for terrorism, nuclear proliferation were all off the table. All he wanted to talk to them about was their nuclear issues. And they loved that because they don't want to hear about bad things about themselves. And then they went ahead and did what they wanted. With Iran, I can see him doing the same thing, taking off human rights, support for terrorism, nuclear proliferation, and anything else that would get in the way of getting to a deal at any cost. Because at the end of the day, that's what he wants to see, is his name on a sheet of paper with the other team, you know, and his picture in the paper, no matter how bad the deal is for America.
Jim, unfortunately, we need to call time there. Thank you very much for your time and your insight today.
Well, thank you.
James Robbins is senior editorial writer for the Washington Times. His editorial on Chris Hill is in the March 25th edition of the paper. This is Dateline Washington.